Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to our series Tryst with Divinity, offering you conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. And today, our guest in the studios of Radio Sai is someone who is a star in the firmament of light classical music. In 2006, he was one of the four stars selected to perform at India's most prestigious ghazal festival called Khazana, where he performed with Indian music legends like Anoop Jalotaji, Pankaj Udasi, Talat Aziz and so on. Drawn to music at a very early age, he started performing when he was 7 and he released his first album at the age of 11. And since then, he has been pursuing music passionately and has been performing at various concerts from USA, UK to Australia. With a dozen devotional albums to his credit and a recent debut in the Indian film industry, he is carving a beautiful niche for himself in the world of music as a singer, composer and songwriter. But what is more significant is that he has been an ardent devotee of Bhagwan Baba right from his childhood. In fact, love for Swami has been there in his blood. 3 generations of his family have been Sai devotees. Born in Fiji, educated in Australia, living in Mumbai, but one who loves to be in Puttaparthi. It is my pleasure and privilege to welcome Sumit Tapu to the Radio Sai studio.
Sai Ramishu.
First of all, I would like to congratulate you for the soulful performance last evening. You know, there were some songs which really touched the innermost chord of my heart. And I think that would be the same for every devotee because you could relate to those songs. You could relate to those feelings.
Yeah. तुझको करते वंदन ईश्वरी नंदन
एंड I would say that was a beautiful beginning to the 86th birthday celebrations of Bhagwan, 16 November 2011. How was the experience for you?
Thank you for the kind words. Since Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi, I had found it tough to come to Prashantanilayam. And, there's so many times where I booked my flight to come to Parthi, and then I wasn't game enough to even board the flight from Bombay. Everyone has their own journey, and everyone dealt with the physical departure. He's always here with us, obviously. The physical departure is something which obviously took some time to deal with. But I told Swami recently, I said, Swami, you have to do something very special now to call me back to Parthi. It's something which I just looked at Swami's photo and I said, because Parthi has been home for me for the past many, many, many years since my childhood. Mm. And since 2003, I've coming every month. Mm. Having lived in Bombay and pursuing a music career, I've been coming every single month. So for me, this is home, the real home. So, just 2 months back, I looked at Swami's photo. I said, Swami, I want to go home. But something has to be there. And then last week I got a phone call, from Tholadiya President Srinivasanji. He said that you have to come and perform on the 16th of November. I saw that as a calling from Swami. So I arrived and I performed on the occasion of the 85th birthday. And I was more nervous last night. Mm. For yesterday's performance, yesterday evening, performing for the Samadhi was a different thing. Professor Anil Kumar sir mentioned my name and the members, who are accompanying me. So we went to place the flower at the Samadhi and then made our way to the stage. And then all of a sudden there was this confidence, this energy which just came flying from Bhagwan's chair for me. And that gave me so much strength to perform. I began my introduction with thanking him for allowing me to perform before him, and I really felt he was sitting there.
Om Shri Sai Ram. With love, humility and reverence, I surrender myself at the Divine Lotus feet of Parabrahma Swarupa, Satyanarayana Swarupa, Shiva Shakti Swarupa, Kali Yuga Avatar, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Swami, thank you for giving me the glorious pleasure of performing for you here in Prashanti Nilayam once again. Bhagwan, there are no words to describe the joy I am feeling in my heart right now. All I can say is, Swami, that my fellow artists and myself are the luckiest people in this universe.
Because I was having a conversation with Swami the entire time. Performing. Everyone said they really felt a lot of bhava and feeling. And for me, I was having a conversation with Swami. Every song was a conversation with him. Whatever I said, I honestly don't remember what I said last night, yesterday evening, in the concert. Swami, I know that at one point I did ask for Divya Drishti to see his physical form at the beginning.
Swami, please give us the Divya Drishti so we can see you physically once again, so that we can see you in every being, Swami, and so that we can see you in every part of creation. Swami, we are all your children. Please bless us so that we can all become your ideals in society. Please bless us so that we can develop the buddhi required to realize the divinity within. Bless us so that we can have the strength and purity to spread thy divine glory all over the world, Swami. And please bless us so that we can make you very, very happy. Bhagwan, with your permission, I will begin today's program with a Telugu verse and followed by a prayer. Jai Sai Ram Swami.
And every song that I sang, it was just from the heart and to Swami. And a lot of things, I was telling Nishikant Gorodekar, who was on tabla with me. We had practiced the night before. A lot of things I planned to say, none of that was said. Even the selection of the songs, the order of the songs, I'd given a list of, an order to the musicians. Nothing was as per the order.
Oh.
Sai Baba Bolo, which is a very emotional song. You're talking about calling Sai, waking him up. And I said, I will not sing that song because I will get too emotional. If I do sing it, I'll sing it later on. So that, I started with a prayer in Telugu, which I had composed for the 85th birthday, with Swami's blessings. It was in Telugu. And I had planned, I'll begin the concert with that. And after that was a small prayer to Swami in Hindi. And then I got the whole Kulon told to sing with me.
Satya Sai Bhagavani Gide Koti Koti Pranam Sarve Dharma Mula Saram Nive Bhaktulandari Pranam Viduvam Viduvam Sai Charanam Andarikadi Udharanam Brahma Vishnu Shiva Shaktula Tattvam Kalabosina Kaliyuga Avataram Kalabosina Kaliyuga Avataram Kalabosina Kaliyuga avataram. Kalabosina Kaliyuga avataram.
At the end of the chanting, you know, I don't know, my fingers just went to a F minor chord and I started Sai Baba Bolo.
Sai Baba Bolo. Sai Baba Bolo Bolo. Sai Baba Bolo.
And you know, it was just a mesmerizing feeling. I didn't even know how, you know, where the time went. I found out this morning I performed for 70 minutes and the program was for 55 minutes.
Mm.
So I was like, sorry Swami, you know, like, you know, because discipline is obviously important, but I was just totally lost. And the presence of Swami felt so immensely that it's unbelievable. Obviously, you know, there's a factor of sadness. You do miss him. Not seeing him physically, but it was incredible yesterday. I don't know how I sang technically.
But I think that was the most important part, the bhava part, and I think that is what everyone felt connected to.
It's his mercy, actually, to be able to perform, you know, for him when he was physically here was a whole different experience, you know. Those memories can never be replaced. They're memories. They will remain there forever. And I didn't know what to expect performing for a samadhi. But it was really beautiful, you know, you experience Swami in a whole different way.
Trita Mima Kaushalya Dvaparmi Yashoda Mata Trita Mima Kaushalya द्वापर में यशोदा माता कलयुग में मां ईश्वरम्मा सत्य साई के माता जन्म जन्म का नाता मासे जन्म जन्म का नाता धन्य हुई मां ईश्वर अम्मा धन्य साई अवतार धन्य हुई मां ईश्वर अम्मा धन्य साई अवतार त्रेता में मां कौशल्या द्वापर में यशोदा माता.
I've been performing for devotees around the world since Mahasamadhi, and it has been a wonderful journey, actually. I performed in Fiji Islands. That concert for Swami was actually blessed in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Swami had said, I don't know if I can talk about dreams, but...
Yeah,
but
Swami guides us in many
ways.
Yeah,
and, you know, And the third or fourth dream was, you know, he said, in 2 weeks you have a program. And you're singing for me. And he said, all my devotees around the world are thirsty and hungry for me. After I physically left, they're thirsty and hungry for me. And he said, music is what will fulfill their thirst. Music is what will fulfill their hunger. And all of you artists who have been given the talent, utilize it for this purpose. That was such an amazing message for me. You know. I mean, I've dedicated my life in, you know, singing his glory.
Mm.
But such a direct message, you know. And then 2 weeks later, I performed for him. Nothing's coincidental, Swami, with, you know, Swami. Everything's all planned. And it was the 24th of May, exactly 1 month after. The date wasn't planned. It just happened. It was a series of 7, 8 concerts. And it was just that on that day, the Satsangarish in Fiji had organized this concert. Then I performed in USA, in London, in South Africa. And the yearning for Swami is so amazing. And the devotees are really, really, you know, feeling Swami's presence in their daily lives. I found so much inspiration in performing for these, for the devotees of Bhagavan. Because they have so much of resolve, you know, that Swami hasn't gone anywhere. He's with us. And that resolve has been so incredible. It even was a healing process for me. It was like, I was just a catalyst for them, but actually I was getting healed myself. Seeing the strength in, you know, in people, to how to cope and how to take it forward and how to practice Swami's teachings. It was incredible. So yesterday was like a whole culmination of that, you know.
सबसे ऊंची प्रेम सगाई सबसे ऊंची प्रेम सगाई सबसे ऊंची प्रेम सगाई सबसे ऊंची प्रेम सगाई दुर्योधन को मेवा त्यागो दुर्योधन को मेवा त्यागो साग विदुर घर पाई सबसे ऊंची प्रेम सगाई सबसे ऊंची प्रेम सगाई सबसे
And obviously, I'm in touch with Parthi every day. I get to know what's happening on a daily basis. And the medium of Radio Sai is incredible, you know, heart to heart. I'm sure, you know, all of you know, but the seva which is being done through this medium is incredible. Maybe you guys don't know. It's reaching millions and millions around the world. Because, you know...
Interestingly, this birthday, it'll be the 10 years of Radio Sai.
Yeah, I know. And you know, the work done, the service done, is everything which surrounds Bhagavan is something very divine, very special. There's nothing small about anything. Nothing is ever little. Everything is grand. Whatever Bhagavan did was grand. And even this medium is incredible. The seva which is being done, you know, the motivation which it gives to devotees, the information dissemination, reading about Swami, watching Swami stories, videos, is massive. So. This has even been an inspiration for me. I've every morning religiously I log on and see what's happening. Mm. Apart from receiving SMSs from all my friends here.
Mm.
But you know, it's also nice to see pictures and everything. So yesterday was incredible. Incredible in the sense that I won't talk about my singing. That's for other people to judge. But just for me personally, you know, to sing for him.
Mm.
And to have a nice conversation with him. It was beautiful.
And it enabled every devotee also to have that conversation with Swami.
Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Baba. Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Baba. Sabka Malik Sai Baba, Ya Khuda, Baba. Sabka Malik Sai Baba, Ya Khuda, Baba. Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Baba. Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Baba. Sabka Malik Sai Baba, Ya Khuda, Baba. Sabka Malik Sai Baba, Ya Khuda, Baba. Din Dukhi Ki Seva Karte, Dard Harte, Baba.
Music is a medium, right? I'll share some small experience about what Swami said. There's a time in 2006, I just, you know, catching on my music career. So Swami asked me to move in 2003.
To Mumbai?
To Mumbai, from Fiji Islands. I had born in Fiji, I did my education in Australia, I did my MBA, and then I moved back to Fiji in my family business.
Mm.
It was always my dream to record an album for Swami. So for their 78th birthday, my guru Anup Sirotaji and I did an album called Sai Charanam. So Sai Charanam was done by the Maharashtra Trust and released through Times Music, which is the biggest music company in India. Album to be blessed by Swami on birthday, but a few days prior to that, you know, he had called me and he said, where are you living? So I said, Swami, I'm living in Fiji Islands, I'm working for the family business. Bombay shifni hua abhi? You haven't shifted to Bombay yet? So I was stunned. I said, no Swami. Acha, what is in your hand? I said, Swami, a CD, I want to release it on birthday. What is it? You know, so he was looking at the mock cover. And he liked the title, Sai Charanam. And Swami used to come in a red car in those times. He spoke and then he said, you sit here from today. Swami sit in the mandir from that day. So 18th of November 2003. So from today you sit here. So he told Mr. Chakrabarty that he'll be sitting here just from
in
today.
Veranda.
In the veranda. So he gave me a seat there. And then he was going inside his car, so you know. Obviously assisted, put his, and you know, he sat down in the car and his feet were out. And then he looked at him and said, hey, your album title. And he lifted his robe and he put it, he said, Sai Charanam.
Wow.
And oh my God, I was just in tears and I went and I took Bala Namaskar. And it was such an incredible experience, you know. The album title. He was so happy. The smile in his face, the glow was incredible. And I sat down and he launched the album on 78th birthday. After the cake cutting, he, you know, released the pack. That started a very new, different journey for me with Swami as well. So anyway, the 3 years had gone by and, you know, it's very hard work in the Bombay industry. It's a very tough industry.
And there must have been times when you would also be facing roadblocks that could be frustrations.
Oh, incredible roadblocks. And it was only and only because of Swami's word that I stayed back in Bombay. Because, you know, for a newcomer, of course my guru is there, Anup Jirotaji is there, but it's an industry where you have to prove your own self. You know, you can, it's not, people always say, you know, Bollywood's about who you know. I don't feel that. I think it's God's grace. Whatever you're meant to get, you get. But it's about perseverance and hard work. You get in return what you put in. You get in return how good you are. And that's it. I mean, like, you know, the stars of today are stars because they are brilliant. And then that's how it always is. So the roadblocks were...
How do you cope with it?
You know, Bhagavan's teachings are so powerful that I feel blessed to have been exposed to his teachings since I was a child. And that's the strength that it gives. The teachings, the words of advice, the direction, the guidance given by Swami is actually the motivator. It is literally the leading light in an industry which is quite different to the rest of the world. So, you know, the only way I could cope was with, you know, with Swami's blessings, His grace, you know, His words, His encouragement, and following His teachings. Swami tests us like there's no tomorrow. The tests are just incredible. The examinations. And of course, when you face them, you know, you're crying to Swami. Swami, why did you do this to me? Or why am I faced with this? Or why is this happening? But really, there are exams for us. And you know, those tests in the industry is actually very clear. Dharma, adharma. Those two pathways. And with Bhagavan's grace, I've always chosen the dharmic path. Because I know that, you know, like I asked Swami once, I said, Swami, how do we know what is right and wrong? He said, very easy, he told me one day. He said, just ask yourself for 1 second before taking any decision, before speaking, before thinking, before acting, will Swami be happy? That is your answer. And that has always been like a guide for me. Whatever I do, I always say, will Swami be happy with this? And the answer comes from within. That was how I faced obstacles, challenges as well.
Naam Sai ka jap le bande फिर पीछे पछताएगा नाम साईं का जप ले बंदे फिर पीछे पछताएगा साईं राम बोलो साईं राम बोलो साईं राम बोलो साईं राम Sai Ram, bolo Sai Ram. Naam Sai ka jab le bande, phir piche pachtaega. Tu kehta hai, teri kaya.
He sent you to Mumbai, so he has a plan for you, and he's holding your hand.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then, so I'll finish the story about 2006. 3 years had passed, you know, and from January I had developed some sore throat problems. 2006 January, so 2 weeks I had a sore throat, and it wasn't a normal sore throat. I lost my voice. For a singer, that's a catastrophe, because
I know
2 months it takes you to recover from losing your voice. So I recovered end of January. February, same thing again. March, same thing. April, the same thing. May. Every month I used to come to Swami, but I used to come when I was not affected by the sore throat. So Swami sometimes would ask, kaisa hai? I said, theek hai, Swami. And I would never talk about it. But I was in pain inside, because I couldn't sing. And that's when I realized how much music meant to me. On a Saturday, I honestly realized how much this meant to me. It was just a small voice box, but it was like my soul. And you know, when I couldn't sing, I was in a lot of pain. Every month, sore throat. In July, I got really fed up.
So you couldn't sing at all those 4 or 5 months?
From January to July, I couldn't sing at all.
Okay.
All my recordings were postponed. Every time I tried to sing, I would not be able to sing in tune. Because it was so badly affected. And no concerts, no recordings, nothing. Complete zero. I was sitting at home, trying to just recover the voice. Every time, you know, there's 2-3 week period, and then 1 week of, okay, let me get back to riyaz. So very, you know, low level riyaz. 1 week would be fine. Back again with sore throat. And July, I told Swami, there's a photograph of I had of Swami in my room. So Swami, I've had enough, Swami. I can't take this anymore. Please do something. And that was my morning prayer. I woke up. Antibiotics, you know, all different things I tried, nothing worked. On the 29th of July, Swami came in a dream, and he said, he just walked in the dream, come to Parthi on the 18th of August, and left. I was very happy. I woke up on the 30th, I think it was 29th July, yeah. I woke up the next day, called up my travel agent, booked my flight Bombay to Bangalore, 18th morning. First 2 weeks of August, nothing happened, no sore throat. Completely gone. I was feeling fine. So I was doing an album. I called the music director. I said, his name is Deepak Pandit. I said, Deepak, my throat is fine. Let's record. But make sure you record after 25th of August. I said, first, between 18th and 25th, I'll be out. He said, aha, TK. I'll book the studio after 25th. He came back by 5th of August. Hey, good news, we have the studio. 16th morning till 25th. I said, brother, I can't do it. Why? I said, because I've got commitments. He said, I've been waiting for 8 months for you. Cancel all the other commitments and do this album. I said, okay, I'll do it. So I looked at Swami's photo and I said, Swami, you say work is worship. So I basically said, okay, I'll do this recording. So 16th, the recording started. 18th morning came. I said, Swami had called me, but I'm sure he understands that I have to do my work. 19th, 20th, 21st. 23rd night, he came in my dream. Where are you? It has been 5 days I've been waiting for you in Prashanthi Nilayam. Mm. I told you to come on the 18th. Where are you? I didn't say anything. I was shocked. So I woke up in the morning, and this happened just before I woke up as well. So 24th of August morning, I'm sitting on my bed and completely shocked, because Swami has been waiting for me, and for me there was like, you know, Bhagwan is calling you. What do I do now? From 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I sat in my bed, not knowing what to do. I just sat like a statue, because I've got recordings, you know, the studios we're working in is like top studios, you know, takes bookings are months in advance. You wouldn't believe, 10 o'clock I got a call from the engineer of the studio. Sumit, we have a problem. Mixer is broken down. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to fix it since last night, and we don't know what's wrong with it. We're trying to reboot it, nothing's happening. We might have to send it away. I said, send it. It's okay. And I knew who had done this. Mm-hmm. It is only Swami. Mm-hmm. And then Deepak called. He said, hey, I'm so sorry about this. I said, no issues. He said, so when do we record? I said, make it later on, August, mm-hmm. September, whenever. Look, you know, that's important that the mix size is fixed. I came to Parthi on 25th. The next day I came. I landed in Bangalore in the morning, came here, went for afternoon darshan. The Swami came out of his car. He's walking to the interview room. So he turned left on the upper veranda. He said, Kab aaya? Mm. So Swami came today. Walked inside the interview room. So I sat down. Then the door opened at, I think, 1 minute past four. Mm-hmm. 25th of August, 2006. He looked at me. Just did like this. I got up my knees and I froze completely. And so Nitin Bhai was there. Yeah. I think Harish Bhai were there. And the signaling, come. Mm. Swami is calling you, come. I was completely frozen. So I took a few steps on my knees. And Swami walked. He used to walk in those times. Mm. Assisted walking. When did you come? Swami came today. How is your throat? Swami, it's okay. He said, you know, music is God. God is music. I am music, therefore I am God. I was completely stunned at what he had said. How is your throat? Swami, it's okay. How is everything in Bombay? Swami, it's fine. How is your throat? Again he asked. Swami is not very good. And then he asked about some recordings, some music. So when are you leaving? So Swami, whenever you say, I will go back to Bombay. He talked some other things. Finally asked, how is your throat? And there's a photograph taken of that. He's come right down. Said, how is your throat? And I said, and I touched my throat. I said, Swami is not good at all. And he waved his hand. And he materialized a chain and a pendant. And he put it around my neck. It's quite short. It just sits at the bottom of the throat. I was very emotional. And I took Padma Namaskar. And then he said, your birthday is in 6 days' time. It's an early birthday gift.
Wow.
My birthday is on 31st of August. It's an early birthday gift. I sat down. You know, this is the most amazing thing. Since then, I've never had a sore throat. It has been 5.5 years now. I mean, I speak to all the singers in Bombay. Bombay is such a polluted city, I tell you.
Mm.
It is like a nightmare for singers. It's a nightmare.
Mm.
I mean, every singer struggles there, you know, taking medication and looking after their throats. We have to even, I mean, I look after my throat, obviously.
Mm.
But I haven't had a sore throat. It's been incredible. And there's only Bhagavan's blessings. Only Swami can do this. It's not possible otherwise.
So, he's putting you through those tests, and he's the one who's taking you out of it also.
Yeah. There's a verse in the Sai Chalisa that we did for Swami. The Satya Chalisa. Karta Sai, Karan Sai, Bhav Sagar Ke Taran Sai. He's a doer. He's the receiver. The everything.
How did he enter your life?
I'm blessed that I've been born into a family which is Sai devotees, Satya Sai devotees. I'm a third generation. Actually, my auntie, Mrs. Kanta Pala, she actually lives in Parthi.
Oh, okay.
Back in the Fiji Islands in the 60s. Now, Fiji is a long way away from here.
I know.
You know, it's a remote island, a paradise in the South Pacific.
Mm.
And in the 60s, she came to know about Swami.
Mm. She was at that time in Fiji.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And, you know, then she told my grandparents about Swami. You know, that God has taken birth.
Mm.
It started from there, very, very straightforward. Not Kisan, Swami, nothing. God has taken birth. Finish. They had only one small picture of Swami's face. And in Fiji, you know, the native Fijians, they've got hair like Swami.
Mm.
And they're both dark and fair complexioned. The hair is exactly like, you know, that big bushy hair.
Mm. Afro hair.
He looked like a Fijian.
Mm.
So it's confusing for people as to, you know, who's this Fijian man?
Mm.
But to know, say, no, he lives in India, you know, God has taken birth. He's an avatar of Shirdi Sai. So then she told my grandparents, and then they came here in the late 60s.
Mm.
I think there was about 8 relatives who came, including my grandparents and my auntie and my uncle as well, Mr. Pala. They came to Prashanti and Swami wasn't here. Back in those days, in the late 60s, early 70s, and no one knew Puttaparthi. So they came to Bombay, they came to Bangalore, and they had to ask how to get to Puttaparthi. So it was a journey. In, I think they came in the back of a tractor or something, in a bus and a tractor. There's all sorts of, I mean, you know, it's a tough journey here. And they reached Parthi, and Swami wasn't here. He had gone to Anantapur.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stayed the night, not knowing where Anantapur is. There's no ashram here. There's no living facilities. No, there was something outside. They stayed there in one room. And then, so my auntie was, you know, obviously she was being the motivator to bring the rest of the family here. People started saying, you know, where have we come? Where is this? You know, you brought us to such a remote village that I don't think whatever you have read or seen is true. Then, you know, they start praying, and she cried. And Swami responded to this other, another lady. Said, look, you know, tomorrow morning there's a bus going to Anantapur. And so when they went to Anantapur, Swami is waiting for them at the gate. And
It was in someone's residence?
At the Anantapur College. It had just been inaugurated.
Oh, okay.
71, I think.
Mm.
72, I'm not sure the exact year. I'll have to check.
Yeah, 71, the new building was inaugurated.
Correct. Must be 70 or 71. So, you know, Swami said, you've come from from very far, and you haven't eaten, because they hadn't eaten when they came here.
Mm.
And, you know, Swami said, pehle petrol bhar lo, pet mein. You know, fill your stomach with food, and then you come and see me. And Swami saw them, and so this whole journey with Swami started after that. So obviously when the family went back to Fiji, you know, they told my father and the whole family about Swami. My mother, she came to know about Swami when she was 14 years old. And so she'd always had this ichha, and this sincere desire to come to meet Sai Baba. And for her as well, you know, it was always that he is God. Sometimes, you know, introduction is that he's a spiritual teacher, he's a son, he's a saint. So it was always, you know, he is God. That's where the journey started for my mom as well. So when my mother and father got married, 2 years later, you know, they came to India, and then they came to Bangalore, and they met someone there who knew about Swami. And they landed in Parthi at 6:30 in the morning. Swami came for darshan at 7 and called them for interview on the first darshan.
Mm.
My mother was pregnant 3 months and I was inside my mother's stomach.
Mm.
And Swami had said, you will have a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was born into a Sai family. My middle name is Satyam, and Swami gave the middle name as Satyam, Sumit Satyam Tappu. And so, you know, this whole journey has always been with Swami. Obviously, you know, there is that connection which you have. My first dream was when I was 2 years old. And Swami confirmed that about 8 years back. That the first dream he had given me, I was 2 years old. And Swami gave the date as well. It was the morning of 22nd September, 1980. It was the first time he came in my dream. But I had thought as a child that it actually happened to me. I didn't know it was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought I'd seen Swami in our house and everything like that. So I always believed that, you know, I'd met
That's
Swami reality. And it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Until, you know, you grow out of that phase, of the childhood phase, and think, no, I think that was not reality. But, you know, Swami had confirmed later on. So, grew up with Swami always in our lives. And I prayed to him as God, and I knew he was the absolute supreme.
So what was that dream like?
It was a very strange dream. It was on the morning that my sister was born. And that's how the date was quite significant, even Swami had said as well. The dream was that I could picture my house. And across from my house, this is in Fiji, in Lotoka, which is another city. There was a hill. It was a sand hill. And I'm seeing a UFO of all things coming. And Swami descending from that.
Mm.
And doing Abhayasta. Mm. And then the whole entire place is just filled with flowers. Mm. There's heaven, you know, there's rain jars from heavens and flowers coming down. You know, and there was a lot of rain. And there was rain inside our house, you know. And I'm helping my parents cleaning up our house. There's flowers everywhere. So, you know, sweeping the driveway. That was a dream. It was just so strange.
Heavenly blessing.
Yeah, it was just incredible. And then I had nothing after that. Then 8 years later, I had a dream of Swami, 1988. And that I went to pick him up from the airport in Fiji, and I'm driving him back to our store. Our family in Fiji are retailers and wholesalers. They're one of the largest companies in Fiji. So we've got large department stores there. So I'm taking Swami to the department store, and the dream ended there. And then I came to Parthi. My first visit was in 89, December. And the sands, you know, as a young child. I was pining to see Swami, you know. Really wanted to see him, because there was only photographs and Balvikas. As soon as we arrived in Parthi, like the taxi stood outside, and all of a sudden the Sevadal was running. So the driver said, go outside your car because Swami will be coming. And the next thing, Swami's red Mercedes comes out of the Gopuram gate, and he's looking, and my father, my mother, my sister and myself did Abhayasta to us within 1 minute of arriving in Prashanthi Nilayam. And that was like, oh my God, you know. And I was just mesmerized by him. And then I thought I went mad, because I started crying. You know, when you're a young child. I was 11. And I was hiding actually from my parents and from everyone, because I was just crying when I was in Parthi. I didn't know why I was crying. I thought something had gone wrong with me. I went to darshan that afternoon, sitting in the third row. Hot sand. And unprepared, obviously, because it was our first trip. Dad knew what to do, but I was completely unprepared. You know, and sweating in the heat and yet crying. And when Swami walked out, that first darshan, you know, he came down the steps. There was no outer mandir, there was no Kulwant hall.
Yeah.
seeing him, you know, I was like, I had my hand, my palm on my forehead, protecting from the sun. And I could just see this amazing being walk out, you know. In my mind, I always knew he was God, but it was like a confirmation that, yes, he is God. It was like, you know, the way he moved and walked around. And I wanted to talk to him. I really wanted to talk to him. And, you know, I was like, Swami, I want to talk to you. Swami, I want to talk to you. Swami, I want to talk to you. And, you know, I was crying. I was hiding from everyone else. Why am I crying? A question from within. And Swami didn't look, obviously, for his darshan. We were here for 3 days. I think the second day he did look and smile. And that made me cry even more. I went back. I didn't tell anyone about this experience. It had such a huge impact on me, but didn't know how to express it. For a young child, how do you actually deal with something like that? So I started doubting myself. Something must be wrong with me. Went back to Bombay, went back to Fiji. I used to live in Fiji then. Then I forgot about the whole incident. But I kept praying for Swami. The yearning to see him was so much then that I want to see you again. I want to see you again. I want to talk to you. And that yearning in those early years is what Swami gave in these last 14 years. The pure yearning. You know, a lot of time youth ask me, Brother, how are you able to talk to Swami? How were you able to, you know, physically have so many experiences? And I said, there's one thing great. I don't think that, well, I'm not worthy enough for grace. God's grace is so huge. We're talking about Parabrahma Swarupa, Shiv Shakti Swarupa, Satyanarayan Swarupa, Kali Yuga Avatar, Bhagavan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the creator of the universe. Grace is something which is so massive. It is only his mercy. We're not even dust at his feet. It is only his mercy that he gives us this opportunity. But I tell the youth, you know, it's just yearning for him, that incredible feeling that I want God. That's when he responds. He melts like a butter if it's from the heart. And, you know, the yearning began, and I came back in 92 with the same feeling, you know. There was seeing him, but I still couldn't talk to him. And, you know, I used to see groups go for interview. But I wasn't able to talk to him.
He kept coming after that.
Yeah, it was just like, he would always look at me, though. He would always look, he would smile. He'd bless. He took my letters.
You came every year?
The entire time from when I was a child till recently, he took 300 letters.
You kept it count?
About 305, 306 letters, yes.
Wow.
I kept a count of everything. And 97, the World Youth Conference, Uncle Jagadishan came to Australia. I was studying in Australia then. So he came in 97. He said, son, are you coming for the World Youth Conference? And he was the World Youth Coordinator back in that time. And his organizer for the World Youth Conference. I said, no, uncle, I'm not coming. He said, don't be foolish. You book your tickets, come to Parthi. It's in July. I said, okay, I'll come. We just moved to Australia 2 years prior. More for my education, actually. The final 2 years of high school and then university. So 97 was my first year of university. And of course, the journey with Swami had continued, you know, the yearning for him and coming to Parthi and everything. So my father called the leader of the Australian group and he said that, do you have one space? He said, no, we've closed registration. This is in June, a month before the conference. Sorry, you can't come. So I said, okay, I won't go. Swami maybe doesn't want me there. Then something happened. I said, I should go. So organizer of the conference, I said, you must come. So something must be there. So I tried. I asked my father, can I be part of the Fiji group? So he called up the person taking the Fiji group and he said, yeah, obviously. We'd love for him to come with us. So I joined the Fiji group. And that changed my life. Because until then, the relationship with Swami was of a certain way. It was something which I, you know, you're brought up with that. There's something where, you know, there's preconditioned thinking, preconditioned teachings. That trip was a heart to heart. I got to know about his in-depth teachings. Obviously, bhajans were sung at home, so I knew about the basics in Balvikas. But I remember when, you know, when we sat for darshan with the Fiji group the first day, Swami was so happy seeing the youth. You know, he used to go inside. You know, the red carpet was laid for Swami, and Swami would just do that and go straight inside to the back of the hall with all the youth there. And that darshan was for 2.5 hours. I'm pretty sure it was 2.5 hours. I'm sure if people check the records, that morning Swami was there. He didn't give any interview. He just came and just speaking to the youth, you know, taking letters and so happy. A day or two prior to the World Youth Conference. And then the World Youth Conference started. And Swami gave a discourse, and we were sitting fourth row from in front. The delegates were given special seating. And obviously, you know, watching him speak was just mesmerizing. And then, at the end of the discourse, he starts singing Hari Bhajan Bina. I had never felt that energy and that feeling ever in my life. And, you know, Swami started, Bhajan Bina Sukh Shanti Nahi. I have tears when I think about it now, you know, because there was, the entire hall was singing except for me. I couldn't sing one word, I was just crying. The way Swami sang, it was, honestly, I felt like I was in heaven. And then he sang Prem Udit Manse Kaho, and then Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. These three songs he sang. And then Aarti was taken. When Swami was leaving Kurund Hall, my heart completely drowned. It's like, Swami, you're leaving, don't go, please. And this feeling I have, you know, until Swami is physically here. When Aarti came, I used to cry for Aarti. It's like Swami's, you know, I see the back of Swami. It's painful. So that started a journey. When I went back to Australia, it was like, you know, I was just buzzing with energy, you know, and Swami had taken a few letters then as well and asked where you're from. And where are you living? When did you come? When you leave? You know, when you're leaving? It was beautiful just to have a conversation. I always wanted to talk to him. And I went back home. A week after is when my life changed, for sure. Because he started coming in my dreams. 7 days a week. Some weeks every day. Some weeks 3-4 days a week. Minimum 3 dreams a week was there. From 97 to 2001. For almost 5 years. And every step that I took, every decision that I made, everything that I did, every word I said, he would come and tell me about it. You say, you did this right, did this wrong, did this right, did this wrong. Do this, directions, teachings, so much, incredible dreams. I mean, that one day I will share what the dreams were, you know. Like, taking me, and then from 98 this dream started on. Every Sunday he would come, Sunday morning. And exactly same dream. I'd be on the veranda. He would open his door. No one would be sitting there. Come. He'd call me inside. He'd lock the interview room door. And then where the interview curtain is, instead of a curtain, he used to have a door there. Door would open. Swami would step out. I would step out with him. And be a total different change. We're on a beach side. Like just water, rocks. And it was maybe, that's what heaven is. Maybe. Swarg. It's just, you know, ocean, stars, the moon. Sometimes I saw planets. Big rocks sitting there. And I'll just massage his head. Happened every Sunday for 4 years. Then I started to understand what my purpose in life is. He told me about my past. My past births. About why I've been born now.
Oh.
What role I have to play with music. He said that is what you were born to sing my glory.
Mm. Very clear.
Very, very clear. So since then I've never had a doubt as to what the purpose of my life is.
Mm. Music.
Yeah, sing his glory.
Jago prashanti me bhor bhai hai ujla sai prakash chalo chale nagar sankirtan ko chalo chale nagar sankirtan ko gaate dharti aakash jago prashanti mein bhor bhai
Those shaping character change, you know, bring about refinement. By no means I'm anywhere near the ideal wants me to be. But then, you know, gave an interview after that, and in that interview he's talking about Ram Katha. It's such a beautiful experience, you know, he gave. He talked about advice for youth with marriage.
Mm.
Advice for youth in daily life.
Maybe you can share one or two important things of this, and then
sure.
We'll stop
today.
This episode.
Sure.
And we definitely have to do many more episodes.
Sure.
I thought we'll talk about little bit about music and little bit about Swami, but it has turned out to be complete satsang on Swami, and which is absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
No one knows how Swami has touched each person, and each person has an epic to narrate.
You know, every person has their own journey. If you do a million interviews, you have a million journeys.
Absolutely. So share with us one important thing that Swami told.
Sure. Mm. Swami is talking about Ram Katha.
Mm.
And he narrated the marriage of Rama and Sita.
Mm.
And he took me to a complete different plane when he was, and Swami was acting as if he was Rama.
Mm.
Well, look, you're not acting, he's Rama, but you know, he started, he said, I looked at Sita, this is how she was dressed, how she was standing, what happened, how the marriage took place, how I first saw Sita. And it was like, and instead of saying Rama, he started saying how I, once or twice he slipped.
Mm.
Rama was doing this, it was just incredible when he narrated the Ram Katha.
Mm.
And then, you know, he talked about marriage.
Mm.
And this is something that I talk to youth as well. You know, he said, if you like a girl, get blessings from parents and get married.
Mm.
Swami does not approve of relationships.
Mm.
You know, short-term relationships has to be a long-term goal in mind, and you must get married.
Mm.
He said, youth of modern day are not following this principle. And there was something important which I took back. And then he asked me, he said, hey, I think I'm 75 then. Hey, do I look 75? I said, no, Swami. How old do I look? Swami, you look very young. You're so radiant. And why? I said, Swami, you're God. But why? Why do I look young? So, you know, when Swami asks a question like that, you should just keep shut.
Yeah.
Not say one word, because anything you say is going to be wrong. So I just looked up at Swami, I smiled. Why? He asked me again. I shrugged my shoulders. He said, purity, patience, perseverance.
Absolutely.
He said, the youth of today do not have this.
Mm.
He said, human beings don't have this anymore. Purity nahi hai, patience nahi hai, perseverance nahi hai. He said, what is purity? Purity of thought, word and deed. That every thought must be for God. Every word must be for God, every action for God. What is patience? He said, everyone wants things like this. One click, we must get it. I said, that is not correct. You should have patience. You must always have the patience, wait for it to come, but persevere for it. And that was a message for me as well, that, you know, act with purity, talk with purity, think with purity, have the patience, but persevere.
Yeah.
He said, must.
And that was the central message of Swami. I remember even in the 70th birthday discourse,
yeah, absolutely.
He said, that is the secret of what I am. And if you also want to become God, all you have to do is follow these three principles.
Exactly.
Purity, patience,
perseverance. And, you know, he really drove home the point.
Yes.
He said, you must persevere. The goal must be in mind.
Yes.
And you should not detract from the goal at all. It has to be that one-pointed focus. I practice it after that. Well, I try to. You can't practice it. I wish I could practice it to the ideal.
Yeah. But that is the ideal that Swami has
for
all of us, for all the youth, and I think for everyone.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I think we'll end on this note.
Thank you, sir.
Purity, patience, and perseverance. So that we too can become at least small specks of the pure love that Swami is.
Yeah.
And I think that's... reserve the rest of it for the future episodes.
Sure.
And I don't know how many more episodes we are going to do. Thank you very much for your
time.
Thank
you so much, Sairam.
And it was really enlightening and very moving satsang.
Thank you for having me. Actually, I haven't spoken about this at all. This talk has brought about a lot of memories.
And we capture all of that. Yes.
Sairam.
Sairam.
You were listening to the first part of a conversation with Sumit Thapu, an acclaimed singer of India who has been performing since he was just 7 years old. A disciple of Sri Anup Jalota, Sumit today is an emerging star in the world of Indian music. As you heard in the conversation, Sumit loved Baba right from his childhood and has been visiting Prashantinilayam every year since his teenage years. He has had the chance to perform in His Divine Physical Presence on several occasions. He was in Prashantinilayam yet again in November 2011 and had the opportunity to make his musical offering to Swami on November 16, 2011. This interview was recorded just a day after this presentation. In conversation with Sumit Thapu was Radio Sai's Pishuprishti. We hope you enjoyed this program. This was yet another episode of our series, Tryst with Divinity. For any feedback or comments on this series, please write to us to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.